everlasting. God is good. God is good all the time. Oh, sing, oh, give thanks to the Lord. His mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord.
Oh, his mercy endures forever.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord.
Oh, his mercy endures forever.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord.
Oh, his mercy endures forever.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord. His mercy endures forever. God is good all the time. Sing, oh,
give thanks to the Lord. His mercy endures forever.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord,
his mercy endures forever.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord,
oh, his mercy endures forever.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, his mercy endures forever. God is good all the time.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, sometimes on Wednesday, I don't know if I'm preaching or teaching or sometimes both. But today, I believe I have just a good old-fashioned Bible study, if you will. I want to talk about prayer tonight. And before we get into the subject of prayer, let's pray. Lord, I love you. I thank you. We ask in the name of Jesus, Lord, that your will be done even right now, Lord, as we talk and teach and show, Lord, by your word about prayer. I pray that you would continue, Lord, in us, Lord, to lead us and guide us and direct our prayer and lead us into prayer and draw us, Lord, unto yourself in prayer, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for it. Thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Prayer. You know what? It seems to be a common, I think every church prays. I believe that there are people that don't go to church, that they get in trouble, they pray too. Amen. That man in the foxhole finds himself in wartime, that guy's praying. That guy in trouble, doesn't know where to go, that guy's praying. Amen. But there's more to praying than just emergencies. I tell you, we can divulge into prayer. There's no end. You've never prayed enough. You've never learned enough about prayer. Amen. There's always more. You see, prayer is one of what I believe to be a very misunderstood topic in the Bible. Yet it is the easiest to master in practice. If you will pray, you'll learn how to pray. And that sounds, even hearing my voice say that, it sounds silly. But it's so true. To the man who doesn't pray, he don't know how to pray. To the person who prays systematically and continuously, and that prays daily and prays without ceasing, that guy knows how to pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. We think that prayer has to be groaning or mournful or long or tedious, etc. But it can be, but does not have to be. It's just not so. It does not have to be like that. to you can have, and I've done it. There was a time I lived an hour away from work, and I used to commute, you know, drive an hour to go to work. And that time I would use to listen to scriptures or listen to preaching, or sometimes I would have a prayer meeting all by myself in that car in prayer. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can do it anywhere. Amen. As you learn to pray and lean on the power of God, the power of prayer, you will appreciate the saying, where there is much prayer, there is much power. Where there's little prayer, there is little power. And where there is no prayer, there is no power. Amen. It's so true. I read a quote. It was accredited to a man named Leonard Ravenhill, but I think I've also heard this same quote by Billy Cole, and probably other preachers I've heard say it as well. Prayer is not preparation for battle. Prayer is the battle. There's been many people to say that. In fact, I'm pretty sure I have said that before. As you learn to pray, we are learning to take authority and dominion promised you as a child of God over the evil spirits and that plague our families, our nations, our community. I tell you, you can have power over the dominion that is trying to press down you or your family. You want to know how to break that dominion? Pray. If you don't pray, guess what? That dominion is going to have power over you. Our prayer affects our own lives, of course. But our prayers affect far more than that. They affect our families, our children, our loved ones, our associates, our friends, our family. They're all affected by how we pray. When you're a person of prayer, doesn't matter if you're a little boy or a little girl. Doesn't matter if you're a grandpa, you know, like me, or older or younger. It doesn't matter. But when you pray, there is power. Amen. Amen. The basics. Let me talk about the basics of what is prayer. Prayer is communicating, talking with God. That's about as simple of a definition as I could think of. We have to communicate with God. Yep, that's it. Well, we're not going home yet. There's more. But it's not complicated. It's not hard. You don't have to be in a certain place. Like, you don't have to be at the altar to pray. You don't have to be sitting in a pew to pray. You don't have to be at church to pray. You don't have to be in a particular position. You know, laid out on the floor, on your knees, or with your arms outstretched. Or you don't have to be in any particular position to pray. You don't have to worry about saying certain words in certain order. Prayer is just you telling God what's on your heart, communicating with God. What's on your mind? What's in your soul? If you're feeling beat down, you can tell God about it. If you're feeling happy, you can let God know about that too. Amen. There are things you should do and things you shouldn't do in prayer. But prayer is a beautiful experience. And it is not, does not have to be complicated. How about this for a question? Are we required to pray? A scripture. I'm going to use scripture to answer that, okay? I'm very strongly opinionated on that, but you don't need my opinion. You need the Word of God. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 8. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. So when you're at home, you need to pray. Tell you what, you can pray on the job. You can pray in the car. You can pray everywhere. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Luke 18, verse number 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. So yes, prayer is important. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. This is Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse number 9. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You know, it's not a portion of prayer that you're supposed to be repeating. No, it's an awesome template for prayer. It's how we're supposed to pray like. Pray that God's will be done. Pray that we get your needs, your daily bread. Every one of us has needs. You can ask God to help you in your need. I hope you pray that God will help you to forgive. Every one of us needs to forgive. And we need to be forgiven. Ain't one of us perfect. Every one of us needs to pray. Praise the Lord. Temptation is everywhere in our world today. It follows you around. It goes with you. Amen. But deliver us from evil, God. God, help me not to fall into that temptation, God. Help me, Lord, to be delivered from evil, God. Amen. Thy kingdom, not my will, but thine will be done. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 17 and 18 says, pray without ceasing. A continual thought process of prayer. Continual just keeping in the mindset of prayer. In everything. Now that's pretty important right there. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. Now I'm not thankful for everything that comes along. Some things are, you know, when I tore my tendon in my foot, ow, that hurt. I was not thankful for a torn tendon in my foot. But I had to pray through it. God, help me. I did pray about that. Amen. But in everything, be it good or be it bad, be it up or be it down, be it in or out, pray in whatever state that you're in. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Praise the Lord. In James chapter 5, verse 16, we are going to pray for one another that ye may be healed. It talks about what kind of prayer here. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. And we do that in our church. I am thankful for our church family. I'm thankful that I can, you know, at a phone call or a text, you know, and I can, and there's people that will pray on my behalf. Amen. And I'm not just talking about lay me down to sleep prayer either. I'm talking about God, intercessors that reach after God and asking for his direction and help and favor in prayer. Confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another. That's scriptural. We are supposed to pray for one another. That ye may be healed. Get this part. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So if you are a believer in Jesus Christ and you are living to the very best of your ability for Jesus and you are fervently, meaningfully, purposefully praying for a member of your church family, I tell you what, it really does help. I tell you, there's people that are healed because of the prayers of the saints. I believe it. I know it. Amen. Praise the Lord. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You know, that's one of the reasons why it's so important for the believer to pray, because there's people that they don't know how to pray. They need for us to pray for them. There is a need that the righteous man would pray for others. Amen. It's an awesome thing. Romans chapter 12, verse number 12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. You know what? I do have a hope in Jesus Christ. My greatest hope is that I will make it to be with him. Amen. It's my lifelong ambition to be ready when Jesus comes. That's my hope. Amen. But he hadn't come yet. But it might be tonight. Well, maybe it'll be tomorrow, or maybe longer. So I have hope that he is coming. And in that time period in between, stuff happens. Tribulation occurs. But continuing instant in prayer. I tell you, there are times when you don't have time to get down on your knees and pray the Our Father which art in heaven prayer. There's no time. There's been times, Jesus, and I just jerk the wheel and go around a vehicle and God saved me from a wreck. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Woo! That was close. Praise the Lord, I'm still here. Here I am. Thank you, Jesus. He saved me in more than one way. But I tell you, you can call on the name of Jesus faster than you can speak his name. Instant in prayer. You know, me calling out the name of Jesus, that's I'm praying. I'm serious. I don't play with his name. If I mention the name of Jesus, It is purposeful. Amen. It has a reason to come out of my mouth. I don't use his name lightly or flippantly. No, it's a precious name to me. Amen. And I can call on him in an instant in prayer. And he hears me. He helps me. Praise the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 7. But the end of all things is at hand. We really are in the end time. In fact, I don't even think that the end time is coming. I think the end time is here. We are living in the day that is spoken of in Scripture as the end time. Amen. Wow. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. You know, the things that are told us in Scripture are not told us there to be frightful of. It's there that we might have knowledge of what God is going to do. It gives me comfort to know that the Word of God said these things are going to happen. That the things that I see in my newspaper, that I read in the headlines, and that is going on in our world, God knew ahead of time that that was going to happen. Gives us even more reason to pray. Be prayerful. God, I can see the time approaching. Amen. The end of all things is at hand. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. There's sometimes I don't even know what the answer is. But when I'm praying and I'm seeking God's face for a member of my church family, and I know that there's a serious problem and I can't fix it, there's nothing that I can do to make it right, and I'm praying and seeking God and asking for his favor, and I'm speaking in tongues and magnifying God and pouring out fervently, praying for an answer. I'll tell you what, there's power in it. There really is power in prayer. We're not playing here. This is real, my friend. This is serious business. God's people, if you're a person that calls yourself to be a follower of Jesus Christ, then pray. Not maybe, might, or sometimes. Pray. Pray every day. Pray. I don't know that there's anything else more important that you could do than to pray. Colossians chapter 4, verse number 2. Of course, we need to continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. You know, when good stuff happens, you need to give God glory. You need to be thankful for what God has done. Thank you, Lord, for healing my brother. Thank you, God, for helping my brother's wife. Thank you, Lord, for healing. Thank you, Lord, for deliverance. You need to be thankful for the things that God does do. Be thankful in your prayer. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, it's a pleasure to give good gifts. You know, we just went through a recent time here just month before last. No, it's February. Some people give Christmas gifts to grandchildren. In my case. And it's really nice when they say thank you. You know, the thank you is worth well more than the price of whatever it is I bought them. You know what? When we say thank you to God, it's meaningful. God wants you to be thankful to Him for what He's done. Be thankful to God for the good things God has done for you. God has done so much. God has done so much that I cannot tell it all. Amen. Be thankful unto God with thanksgiving. Oh, I forgot to read verse number 3. I read verse 2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Verse number 3. With all praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. I don't know if that means a lot to you, but to me it means a whole lot. It means that I need to seek God's face and be thankful for what He gives me, that I might have something to say to you. Woo! Because if I don't get it from God, then it ain't worth listening to. You don't really want to hear just jibber jabber and light, you know, frilly talk. You know, that tickle your itching ears. That's not what you need. You need to hear, this is what God said. That's what the Word says. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm excited about that. Amen. Jude, verse number 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. I'll tell you what. It does something powerful within our own spirit when you are magnifying God and using all of the words that you can remember, that you can know, that you can say, and then it gets beyond my knowledge, it gets beyond my own ability, and I start praying and magnifying God and speaking in tongues and glorifying Him. I might be all by myself. I might be, you know, worshiping the Lord alone, and it can be a time that is powerful. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes, you should pray in tongues. Yes, you should magnify God in the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. James chapter 4, verse number 8. Oh, wait a minute. I got a little bit here before I get to that one. Our Lord set an example for us in prayer. Jesus Christ did not pray as God, but His flesh, humanity, prayed to God. The greatest need of the church today is praying people. The greatest thing we need is praying people. You know, it's nice to have talented people, you know, who know how to do stuff. But it's more valuable to have a praying person. Amen. We need praying people. When people pray, the power of God is released upon the church, enabling her to fulfill the divine commission. The church is the church when people pray. If you got any organization and there's no prayer going on, it's not church. You know, it might be a club. It might be a social gathering. You know, it might be a committee meeting. You know, it's not church. There has to be prayer going on. People of prayer are needed in spiritual leadership. Our leaders need to be people of prayer. Amen. God's leaders are always outstanding people of prayer. We can't do what we're doing without the direction from God, without praying and seeking His face and getting His guidance and having His anointing and blessing upon us. Being good at stuff is not good enough. You know, you might be a... There's lots of good singers in the world, but there's nothing like a Holy Ghost. Somebody singing, praising, and worshiping God in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Where the anointing is flowing and moving and compelling people to worship. Amen. The same for preaching. Some people got a really good voice and they're orators and, you know, they could, you know, read the dictionary and make it sound good. But that's not what we need. We need God and His anointing. Amen. Gifts and abilities aren't enough. We need strong, persistent, systematic, fervent prayer. All the great men of the past who dispelled the darkness, who defeated the enemies, who won victories for God, every single one of them prayed. All of them got strength, direction, power in prayer. Prayer safeguards the church against worldliness, against materialism. Prayerlessness, if we do not pray, produces worldliness, materialism, and coldness. The church cannot function and fulfill its purpose by any other means. There's no other way to get before God to be right with Him without prayer. The beauty and the strength of the church will be robbed if there is a lack of prayer. Spiritual death results if we just stop praying. If you just stop praying, you will lose out with God. Nobody successfully lives for God without praying. You'll lose out. You'll backslide. You'll get caught up in sin. We need to pray. God is searching. God is looking for men and for women who will pray. Launching the church into a spiritual power and revival. Agonizing prayer of the prophets and the apostles. It's not programs that we need. And, you know, I'm all for doing things better. And we're trying to do things better in our church. I'm for that. Please don't misunderstand me. We are making every effort that we can to be as good as we can make ourselves to be. With God's help, in prayer, we're seeking His face for direction and for help and for anointing and for power. We're praying that God would lead us, that God would help us, that God would enable us to do His will. But it's not the programs. And it's not in our man-made plans, no matter how good they might be. But it's in the prayers of people that are filled with the Holy Ghost, that are given direction by God. Amen. You know, we stress different things at different times. The things that we need to stress the most important thing that we can stress is prayer. Some would evaluate a church by the numbers of people that attend, perhaps, or maybe on the sermons that are preached, or the talent of your musicians, or the singing, or perhaps even the offerings, or maybe even the facility. But you know, all those things are not the purpose of the church. We need to pray that God has His will done, that souls would be saved, that lives would be changed, that God would have His will to be accomplished. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm for all those other things, okay? I pray that we get better at what we do. I want to, you know, study to show myself approved, you know, that what I say really is in the Word of God, that I'm bringing you the Bible when I preach. Amen. That the Holy Ghost would give me anointing, that God would speak where you are through me. That's what we need. We need to pray and find and do His will. The true measure of a spiritual status of a church is determined by the prayer life of the people in that church. I'm excited about people praying. I'm excited about what goes on Monday night in prayer. I'm excited about what is now happening on our Sunday morning, 10:30, for 15 minutes, 10:30 to quarter till, 15 minutes of prayer with a few handfuls of people before church starts is powerful, my friend. More will be done in that 15 minutes than what we could have done all day long by ourselves. Amen. There's power in prayer. Praise the Lord. What is prayer for? Prayer gets your spirit closer to His spirit. Amen. When you pray, you are drawing closer to God. James chapter 4, verse number 8, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Woo-wee. Doesn't stop there, though. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. It means you got to quit. You got to quit that sin part, right? Do we realize that? To be right with God, we got to quit the sin part. We got to draw nigh to God. How do you draw nigh to God? It's through prayer. Draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Man, I want to be singly minded on Jesus Christ. I want to be so singly minded that that's the thing, you know, in the triangle of life, I want God to be right at the very top. He's got to be the most important thing. He's got to be at the pinnacle, at the peak, at the most important thing in my life. It's got to be God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Prayer changes our attitude. It really does. You cannot remain under the presence of God, you know, in that glory time, in that sweet presence of prayer, when you are communicating with God and God is touching you, and man, that prayer is powerful. In that time, you cannot harbor hatred. It leaves. You can't concentrate on the things of the world if you're concentrating on God. It changes our attitude. He is love, and when you pray, that love affects your thoughts and your actions. The love of God, from the inside, flows out when we pray. You might have been so mad, that person, man, they did something so stupid there. Why did they do that? But when you pray, well, try not to do that again. Get over it in prayer. That's how you're going to successfully get over it. You know, harboring that hatred thing, that's going to destroy you, not the other person. It's going to destroy you. Prayer affects the enemy. Your prayers have great impact on the kingdom of evil. By praying, we have power over demons. Even the strongest demon must flee at the start. And I say start because, in my experience, when I pray, I got attacked by a demon. I mean, I've probably told you 100 times already. I got attacked by a demon. Grabbed me physically. Man, it was fearful. It grabbed my Bible. In Jesus, I was going to smash him with my Bible. In the quarter of a second it took me to try to hit him, the thing was gone. I tell you what, demons cannot stand against the name of Jesus. Humans can. Hard-headed humans can. Well, that's not a demon then. That's flesh. That's going to take some more prayer. Every knee will bow. I tell you what, God can change the enemy. We have power over the enemy in prayer. The strongest demons have to flee at the prayer of God's elect. In Daniel chapter 10, the captive prince was living in a strange land, began to pray against the prince of Persia. He prayed for 21 days. The Lord heard his prayer on the first day. Sent an angel to assist him. It came through. God helped him. Amen. Amen. Daniel turned the fate of an entire nation by prayer. Now, true, he did get charged with a crime. He got convicted, thrown in a lion's den. That was a death sentence, by the way. He got a death sentence. Thrown in the pit with the lions, thinking he's going to die. And then in the morning, Oh, live forever, King. God has sent his angels and shut the mouths of the lions. You know what, God, you might have to go through some stuff, but God is going to deliver you. God is going to help you. God is going to see you through. God is not going to leave you when you pray. Change the whole nation because he prayed. The power of prayer of one child of God is awesome, powerful. Prayer enables us to go into areas impenetrable by other forces. You cannot make other people do stuff, but you can pray for them. Amen. Spiritual heights, spiritual depths can be attained through prayer. You want your walk with God to grow? Pray. Seek his face, and you'll find him. Prayer affects the enemy. Prayer changes our attitude. It affects the enemy. Prayer changes heaven. Hezekiah prayed and changed the mind of God. He was going to die. And he prayed and God added 15 years to his life. Your prayer will affect the way that God deals with you and those that you pray for. Prayer is powerful. Amen. Prayer affects other people. It's not just us. But our prayers affect other people. Your prayers touch others' hearts. God, open their heart. God, show them who you are. God, give them revelation. Lord, help them in their need. God, heal their body. Your prayer touches their life. Your prayers cause God to move in the affairs of men. Some of those other people that you're praying for, they don't pray for themselves. They don't even know how to pray, perhaps. Or maybe it's not the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. You see, there's a key there. Because you are serving God, because you know him, because of your relationship and walk with God, your prayers matter. Your prayers are powerful. Your prayers are the only thing that stands perhaps between that person and the devil. Catastrophe. You know, you might see him going down a road towards a dead end. God, turn them around. God, open their eyes. God, bring them back. Keep praying. Keep praying. Don't stop. Your prayers change people's lives. It's important that God's people pray. Don't stop praying. Some biblical basis for corporate prayer. You know, we pray together. We pray together on Sunday mornings. We pray Sunday morning, 10:30. Sunday or Monday night, 7 o'clock. We have corporate prayer. We have times of we gather together for prayer, for the purpose of praying. It's biblical. The church in the book of Acts was praying. Acts chapter 4, verse 24. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God and with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is therein, or in them is. Excuse me. There's times that we need to lift up our hands, our voices together to praise God. You know, on Monday night, if it's not your custom to come on Monday night we have a little time of people can say their prayer request, and at the end we pray for those needs together. It's on purpose that we do that, because we are agreeing in prayer for God to touch those needs. It is more powerful than your carnal mind can understand. It's a spiritual matter that we're doing. Amen. They prayed in small groups, Acts chapter 3, verse number 1. Now Peter and John, two guys, went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. You know, you don't have to have a whole large, you can pray by yourself, you can pray in small groups, you can pray corporate prayers, but pray. They prayed in private devotion, Acts chapter 10, verse number 9. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop all by himself to pray about the sixth hour. You know what? There's times that I've been praying all by myself, and God gave me what I needed. God refreshed my soul. God put his will in my mind that I might know him, that I could have the direction that I was seeking after. When the world couldn't tell me what to do, God gave me direction in prayer. Amen. They prayed specifically for people. Acts chapter 9, verse number 40. But Peter put them forth and kneeled down and prayed, and turning to the body said, Tabitha, arise. She opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. I'll tell you what, that's an awesome thing. Acts chapter 12, verse number 5. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Praise the Lord. You know what? God worked in the prayers of the people. He was delivered. Amen. God works in our prayer. Acts chapter 4, verse 29 and 30. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church for God, unto God for them. Oh, I think I read that one already. Acts chapter 4, verse 29. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servant that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. Amen. You know what? Every single thing that God does for us is to give him glory. Amen. If God heals your body, it's to give God glory. God, if God delivers you from something that you have a problem with, it's to give God glory. If God saves your loved one, that's to give God's glory. Give God glory for what he does. Praise the Lord. Acts chapter 4, verse 31. Oops. Okay. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spake the word of God with boldness. I tell you what, when we're in church, You need to be praying continually. Acts 13, verse 2. I'm hurrying along. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." Praise the Lord. Fasting and praying will change us to be sensitive to God's will. Amen. Acts 14, verse 23, "And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed." Matthew 18, verse 16, "But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established." Matthew 18, verse 19, "Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven." I tell you what, it's limitless. Doesn't matter what the need is, you can pray about it. Amen. God can help you when you pray. "Pray ye therefore," Matthew 9, verse 38, "pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into the harvest." How do you think God is going to reach into our community and draw people in? It's by you and me. God's going to use us to reach people. Amen. That's how God works. Acts chapter 12, verse 5. "Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him." Praise the Lord. Let the church pray. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. And I'm near done here. "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to him in time of need." Praise the Lord. Come boldly, that we may obtain. Pray. Finally, in conclusion, stand with me. I'm closing with these two verses, Revelation chapter 12, verses 10 and 11. "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down. Which accused them before God day and night." Verse 11, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death." Praise God. God has given us the victory. Amen. Read the back of the book, we win. Amen. Praise the Lord. Love him with me, would you? Lord, I love you. I thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we have the opportunity, Lord, to pray, that we really can seek your face and find your will and know your way. Thank you, Lord, that there are people in your house, in your kingdom, in this church, Lord, that pray. Thank you, Lord, that we can pray and seek your face, that we can know your will, God. Thank you, Lord, that we communicate, that you can show us and lead us and help us when we pray. Thank you, Lord. Bless, Lord, your people, Lord, and lead us, God, to pray. Thank you, Jesus, for it. In Jesus' precious, precious name, we pray. Amen. God bless you. Thank you very much. If I could see our trustees for just a moment, those that are here, I got one.